because it was pushing straight rhetoric. And I was like, this is garbage that we should stop. And they got him on YouTube. I ain't took him off, but he didn't say he ain't been on there after I did that. But and neither did my phone work right anymore. But this is what they want. They want somebody to sit up there and brainwash you, just like a lot of our African American people just totally brainwashed about religion. They ain't doing no research. They just gonna listen to this man. I mean, they're supposed to be listening to God, but they turn to disciples. They listen to the dog. Remember, you be playing the dog the whole time. It's the dog. Them jokers. They the ones pushing that down our throat because of the man giving them a cut, so we get cut. That's just putting it in a nutshell. And if you're a preacher or whatever, go doing your job. Stop taking all the people's money and running to the bank and buying you all you want and leaving the people poor. Buddha Baruka said all the Christians are poor, and I see that. They buy cars and try to act like they're rich, but you are poor. So you give all your money to that pimp. That we call the pimp. Pimp got you.
Live from NPR News, I'm Jael Snyder. All hostages are safe. A suspect is dead following a more than 10-hour standoff at a synagogue in a suburb of Fort Worth, Texas. Pablo Morales Pena is with member station KERA. He reports on what happened.
Law enforcement responded to a hostage situation at Congregation Beth Israel in Colleyville, north of Fort Worth, on Saturday morning. An armed man took four hostages during a Shabbat service that was live-streamed on Facebook before being pulled offline. Just after 9 p.m., a series of loud bangs were heard at the scene. Moments later, Texas Governor Greg Abbott tweeted, quote, "Prayers answered. All hostages are out alive and safe." FBI Special Agent in Charge Matthew DeSarno applauded the efforts of negotiators.
It's very likely this situation would have ended very badly early on in the day had we not had professional, consistent negotiation with the subject.
Officials say they have identified the suspect but are not yet releasing a name. DeSarno says the investigation is ongoing and will have global reach. I'm Pablo Arauz Pena in Dallas.
The AP and others are reporting the man was demanding the release of a Pakistani woman who's serving an 86-year sentence in Texas for attempting to kill U.S. service members in Afghanistan. Leader of the Oath Keepers extremist group expected him back in federal court this week on charges connected to the attack on the U.S. Capitol a year ago. NPR's Ryan Lucas reports that Stuart Rhodes has been indicted on charges including seditious conspiracy.
Stuart Rhodes made his initial appearance on Friday in federal court in Plano, Texas. Prosecutors say Rhodes and 10 others conspired to try to take the U.S. Capitol on January 6, 2021 and prevent, by force, the transfer of presidential power to Joe Biden. Rhodes is the highest profile defendant so far in the Justice Department's Capitol riot investigation. He's the founder and leader of the Oath Keepers, one of the largest groups in America's far-right militia movement. Prosecutors say they want Rhodes to remain in custody pending trial. He is due back in federal court Thursday for a detention hearing to decide the matter. Ryan Lucas, NPR News, Washington.
Telecommunications still down across the South Pacific island nation of Tonga more than 24 hours after an underwater volcano erupted, Ashley Westerman reports.
When the volcano erupted Saturday, it sent a fast plume of ash into the air over 18 miles up. Shane Cronin is a volcanologist with the University of Auckland. He says the plume also expanded laterally and very quickly.
Within 30 minutes of the eruption onset, the ash plume above the volcano was about 180 miles across.
Saturday's eruption was the volcano's second in less than a month and sent tsunami warnings ringing out across the Pacific, from New Zealand to Japan to the west coast of the U.S. Cronin says in the days ahead, Tongans will have to contend with not just cleanup and potentially more tsunamis, but also likely ashfall and acid rain.
This is NPR News. Tennis star Novak Djokovic has left Australia. He's on a flight to Dubai after losing his fight to remain in Australia and defend his Australian Open title. A three-judge panel today upheld a second cancellation of his visa amid controversy over his vaccination status. In a statement, Djokovic said he is extremely disappointed but respects the court's decision. Talks are expected to resume after this holiday weekend to reach a new bankruptcy deal for Purdue Pharma, the maker of OxyContin. Negotiations have been underway since a federal judge in Manhattan rejected a settlement that granted immunity from opioid lawsuits to members of the Sackler family. NPR's Brian Mann reports.
The Sacklers, who own Purdue Pharma, have offered to contribute billions of dollars to their company's bankruptcy deal if they're granted protection from future opioid lawsuits. A federal judge shot down that controversial deal, which means the case may wind up before an appeals court. In the meantime, the parties have been ordered into mediation to try one last time to reach a final settlement. Last week, bankruptcy judge Robert Drain extended the timeline for those talks through February 1st. Communities and victims hit hard by the opioid crisis say they hope for a final resolution that will quickly fund billions of dollars in health and drug treatment programs. Brian Mann, NPR News.
A major winter storm is moving across the country today. It's already dumped heavy snow in the Midwest and has put much of the Southeast on an emergency footing. Store shelves have been stripped of supplies and more than 2,000 U.S. flights have been canceled today. I'm Tyler Snyder. This is NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Carnegie Corporation of New York, supporting innovations in education, democratic engagement, and the advancement of international peace and security. More information is available online at carnegie.org.
Hi, I'm Jennifer McTritis, chair of the Diversity and Inclusion Committee. Tune in to 88.5 FM and WMNF.org to hear interviews with our volunteer programmers, music you won't hear anywhere else, and informative news. Our Diversity and Inclusion Committee is excited to connect with organizations and individuals that support our local area. Thank you for keeping our community strong, and we want to help you make a difference. Let's do this together by emailing diversity@WMNF.org.
Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, 9 a.m. weekday mornings right here at 88.5 FM. You'll hear the same fearless investigative reporting on topics too hot for the mainstream media. Tune in to Democracy Now! 9 a.m. weekdays right after the morning show. That's right here on WMNF, Tampa, St. Petersburg, Sarasota, Lakeland, Clearwater, Winter Haven, and Venice.
Hi, I'm Sean, and I hope you tune into my interview show called Tuesday Cafe every Tuesday morning at 10 on 88.5 WMNF. I interview environmentalists, politicians, social justice activists, academics, and other experts about topics that impact you right here in the Tampa Bay area. I focus on issues that are important locally and across the whole state of Florida. The show is called Tuesday Cafe with Sean Canaan. It's every Tuesday morning at 10 on 88.5 FM, WMNF Tampa, and on WMNF.org.
And you are tuned to WMNF Sunday Forum with Walter L. Smith in Fort State, right here on 88.5 FM. Taking your telephone calls, 813-239-9663. We're talking about the state of Florida, the state of the nation, and the state of the world. Give us a call, or you can write us. Write us at dj@wmnf.org. Here's Walter L. Smith.
Raise the sad old truth, the dirty love down. have a Jones for this, Jones for that. This running with the Joneses, boy, just ain't where it's at. You're gonna come back around to the sad, sad truth, the dirty lowdown. Got you thinking like that, boy.
Oh, yeah, the sounds of Boss Skaggs and the Dirty Lowdown.
Yeah.
Yeah, boy, let me tell you.
Yeah, the dirty, dirty.
He was here this time, wasn't he? Dog. Listen, man, this is Walter Elspeth II. We're coming back to you live right here on the Sunday Forum at 88.5 WMNF FM. You know, hey, man, listen. It is Dirty Lowdown, bro.
Yes,
I mean, you know. Well, anyway. So let's go on with our discussion about how dangerous really is Ron DeSantis, right? Mm-hmm. So, I don't trust a concept. I don't trust a guy who would allow a legislation to be passed that you can that you can run over protesters with a car.
Yeah.
Right? And then turn right back around and say that you want to reinstate the Florida State Guard.
Right, right.
Hell no. Are you kidding me right now?
Right.
If you know anything about the history of the Florida State Guard, that's a problem. That's real problem. They ran, Mabili, so you know, the Florida State Guard ran independently at the behest of whatever the governor said, that's mm-hmm. what went, right? A lesser version of the National Guard.
Yeah. It is a shades of Mussolini of Italy, just in case you...
Oh, dude. But when you think about who the governor was who started it, Governor Spessard Harlan, who was a staunch racist.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, flat out segregationist and racist, Spessard Harlan. I have personal, when I say personal, I mean my mother has personal interaction, so to speak, with Spessard Harlan. He's the same man that refused to shake my mother's hand and to acknowledge her winning, being the first person to win the William Randolph Hearst Award.
Right.
Now, you know, this guy's out of Bartow, right? Listen, brother, when I tell you that he is the one who started this militia, if you will, in 1941, better yet, right?
Mm-hmm.
Come on, man.
Given the 40s, I mean, here was a staunch segregationist trying to stem the tide of progress.
Wow,
and,
man.
I mean, these people are direct descendants of those Civil War folks who didn't want change in the first place. This is what I mean by conservative. They never wanted this country to progress from that white supremacist rule. And these people are still with us today in acting in concert with those who don't want this kind of change in the world. And right here in the state of Florida, we see it. Now, when you look at the idea of the states' rights after the Civil War, the federal government had to protect black people in the South by putting guards here. We had to have federal. As soon as that was lifted in the 1870s, the Ku Klux Klan began their work.
Went to their campaign of terror. Yes, sir.
In this country. Yes, their sir. Reign of terror. It became political.
When you see some of those pictures of people that were holding those batons, mm-hmm. beating up on black folks, look at their left arm and you will see a patch, a shoulder patch. It says FSG, it was an orange shoulder patch, in the almost triangular.
Mm-hmm.
FSG, and it had a gator on it.
Okay. like the SS Waffen.
A blue and orange patch.
See?
With a gate on it. It says FSG, Florida State Guard.
These people use a lot of white supremacist symbolisms.
Come on, man.
That recall Nazis past.
Come on.
And there were a lot of Nazi sympathizers in this country at the time of the Nazis' rule. Those people didn't go away. Those people had children. And these things were handed down. White supremacist is not something that is forgotten because the old person died. It is something that is carried on, and many times it is used through conscious efforts, but also subconscious efforts through these cultural buzzwords and symbolisms.
Well, I'll tell you what. That was not smart. If you're looking for imagery, mm-hmm. That's not a good look at all, not one bit. If you thought that, Mr. Governor, please, if you thought for one moment that was okay to even suggest such a thing, it's not.
But in his legislature that's controlled by this old ideology, old guard.
Bull crap, yeah. I mean, you can't do that. You cannot do that. Anyway. This is what he wanted to do, mm-hmm. And then you come back and think that this, I don't know who thought this was a good idea, right? I don't know who thought this was a good idea, but why do you think that Nikki Free called him said this? Mm-hmm. This is one of the number one reasons why when you make decisions like this, you would put money in how much did you put in there? He wanted to put $100,000 into this thing or something. I forget how much it was exactly. That's absurd.
It is absurd.
It's absolutely absurd. I mean, so...
But he's not talking about using this guard for distributions of tests or making sure everybody gets a vaccine. He's not talking about using them for those purposes.
He's talking about using it for his $100 million. $100 million budget.
That's a lot of money. He wanted to put
it in his budget, $100 million for a Florida National Guard to be reenacted. That $3.5 million will be invested into reactivating the FSG in his $100 million budget for the Florida National Guard. That's unbelievable. It will allow for training and equipment of up to 200 members. Mind you, here's the difference. We're in a different time, right? Mm-hmm. Back then, the FSG was made up of white men. Mm-hmm. There were no black men in the FSG. Made up of white men. So you know, if you thought for one instant that this was okay, folks, it's not. I don't feel comfortable with it. I don't trust them. You know, again, I make the parallel that, I make the argument that if you thought that this was okay, it's not, because if you think it's okay to run people over for practicing their First Amendment right, mm-hmm. then turn right back around and you think it's okay to have a militia, your own private militia that you can just say, go get them, boys.
Which is, they're probably the first thing he do with that militia is send them to any Black Lives Matter protest and beat it down.
Well, any protest, whether it was Black Lives Matter or otherwise.
But that's especially
that was against his policies, right?
Right.
Come on,
like,
man.
Like the small group that protested his office, I think his name is Eric Frazier, was the leader of that protest in Jacksonville. Now, why is the governor trying to have a private press conference in a pandemic, you know, in a state that is probably becoming a new epicenter in a pandemic, and you want to go and hide and have a private press conference with your surgeon general who's going to discredit himself following behind you, telling people not to get tested? If you're not symptomatic, you should get tested anyways.
But wait. What makes me laugh, right? Further is you read the rest of the article, right, that I read earlier. It says gubernatorial press secretary Christina Pushaw.
Well, she's a gaslighter.
Condemned freeze analogy Friday. And she says, if we had honest media instead of DNC stenographers, reporters, we'd be criticizing Nikki Freeze's dishonest and offensive claim that Governor DeSantis is a modern Hitler. Such a comparison trivializes Hitler's crimes against humanity. This is not funny. It's sick, she tweeted. By Saturday afternoon, the first Republican call for Freed to step down came from a state legislator. Listen to this. Randy Fine tweeted, as a Jew, I am repulsed by Nikki Freed comparing Governor DeSantis to Hitler. No governor has done more to help Jews in their state than Governor DeSantis. She needs to disavow her repugnant anti-Semitism or resign. How is that anti-Semitic?
I know, right?
Maybe I'm missing something about what anti... And I promised myself I would not get into this argument. And I'm not. I really am not. But this is not... There's nothing anti-Semitic about this.
It isn't. It's just a retort that somebody needed to use.
Man, come on, man. Give me a break. Randy, come on, dude.
I like what...
Nice try, Randy.
There's a state senator named Annette Tadillo took issue with DeSantis calling Florida a free state. She said, we are the most free state in the country. Why can't our local school boards be free to decide what is best for our local schools? Why can't small businesses be free to decide what is best? What is the best way to protect their employees and customers? Because the Supreme Court certainly didn't help matters.
Oh, no.
People are just as confused today as they were Friday about what we're going to do going forward with companies with 100 employees or more. People sitting next side by side with one another, you know, you can't control your schedule. You have to be there when the boss says you need to be there. And these So it's like this is just one big ball of confusion because we have a conservative ideology that just won't quit. They just can't stop it, even in the face of a pandemic. And you got people trying to protect them, and you got people, you know, acting right along in concert with them, such as the Surgeon General of Florida and this whole Florida legislature.
Oh,
you know, if people want change, they need to stand up and make it happen because
Absolutely. They
just going to keep on going.
Absolutely.
There's no logic here. There's no logic flow except we free. We going to do what we want to do. And you can't do anything about it. Basically, that's the mantra of white supremacy.
Show you how dangerous this is. It's also the mantra of just dumb people. Right? So watch this. Why have they voted to do deep well injections?
Yeah.
With the waters from Piney Point.
Right.
Are you serious right now? Are you absolutely serious?
Trying to bypass the
aquifer.
Yeah. By using an injection system to inject what? The
water.
Pollution.
The polluted water.
Yeah.
With radioactive material.
So you're
going
to do it further down into the ground.
Below the aquifer,
which could bubble up anyways sometime in the near future. I don't know. There's no logic.
Listen, and we're fighting an issue with, okay, so if there was ever a question about the issue of fracking, let me tell you something about fracking, just in case so you understand. If you were to compare those things, hey, guess what? You're doing the same dang thing. If you take that concept of doing deep injection wells and fracking.
Okay.
The outcome, the risk of what you're doing is too high. It's too high. Our ecosystem is way too fragile to be doing something like that. It was a screw up. It was a bad screw up. Find something else to do with that, with that water, man. That's just not it. That's the deep and wet injection well is just not it. Anyway.
I think we have to call at least one call. We've been waiting for quite a minute.
Let's take that call.
And the call number is 813-239-9663. If you want to join the Sunday Forum, go ahead. Caller, you're on the air.
Walter, how you doing? Mike Randolph.
Mike, what's going on, man?
It's okay. I hope your pain is okay.
Yes, yes.
First, I'm happy to announce that I've been given a boardmanship on the Network for Community of Consciousness in D.C. This is a think tank on black economic development, and I'm happy to be on there because we're really talking now national black economics.
Congratulations, man.
Thank you. The other thing I want to talk about, and this is very important, on January the 24th at 6 to 8 p.m., is the next Rome Yard meeting. This is important because residents have to weigh in as to what do they actually want to see in Rome Yard. So I hope community, and it's all online. And you can hit me at westtampacdc@gmail.com to get a link. The other thing that's coming up is job creation in West Tampa. The West Tampa CDC has created a job bank system where we are connecting employees and employees together. The first deal we got is with Publix. As you know, Publix is coming to West Tampa. They have 100 to 120 new jobs coming, and we're going to connect residents of West Tampa to those jobs. Then it's the public safety. As you know, violence is crazy in this community. What we're doing now is Hollywood comes to West Tampa. I'm not sure if you're familiar with Charles Smith. He's with the Christian Brothers of Froom Academy in Tampa. He's one of those Jews that we had to talk about because he's really a diamond. He works with Sidney Poitier, Donnie Glover, Ben Griffin, all these big people. He's working with us to put together the West Tampa Production and Entertainment Center to get young people off the corner, drop the gun, and pick up a mic. So that's going to be very important. Just want to share that with you. And some of the things we're going to do with that center, for example, we got all kinds of people that can rap. We got 500 businesses. We're going to start connecting people that rap to businesses to do jingles and things of that nature. So, Walter, thank you so much for what you do for the community.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
Right day. Well, look, I appreciate it, man, because people don't know how much you've done, not only for West Tampa, but for Tampa in general with the environment thing. People need to wake up or they're going to go to sleep. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, brother. I appreciate it, Mike. And I appreciate everything you've done, too, man. I mean, this brother came from Baltimore, Maryland, man, and made one heck of a difference in terms of bringing in programs and being able to talk to the people out of the housing authority and helping, especially young ladies, to be able to start businesses or, you know, to at least get started or try to move in that direction. And they started to see things about themselves that they had not seen before, you know, due to what this man did and does, in that space, in all those spaces, you know. So
yeah,
you know,
Baltimore is an interesting city.
Oh my gosh!
So it'd be instructive.
It's a dangerous city.
Yeah,
it still is to a degree.
Yeah, but one thing about it is that it's the way it's governed, but the poverty is so in your face.
Wow,
it's just in your face. It's like, you know, here in the South is out of sight, out of mind.
Right.
Until you go looking for it. But there, it's everywhere. You see the classes.
Yeah,
living together.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I remember reading stories about people who just froze to death.
Yeah.
But I'm like, how the hell? I'm like,
elderly people, especially.
Do you let
Chicago
that happen? Yeah. How do you let something like that happen, right?
Right. Like, how do you let that happen? That's, you know, a lot of that is just bad planning. You know, disregarding the plight of the poor, you know, in working classes.
It is. It really is. I just want to read a couple of things that are on here. First of all, David Gonzalez, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Herbert Floyd, what's going on? Joe Gonzalez, thank you. Mikiala Johnson, how you doing? Thank you so much. We appreciate it. Appreciate you joining us. Mark Hennessy, what's going on? Nerman Oaken, what's going on? Hey, let's see here. All right, so we have Tony Gill. Connie Burton says, Hitler's actions made him dangerous. The governor's action is on the same path.
It is.
Yep.
I mean, anyone, a student of history, could see that.
Yep.
The accumulation of power. I mean, the fact that he's going after knowledge, after truth and knowledge in schools under the guise that, you know, it's going to hurt the sensibilities of white people. So this is, you know, this is the equivalent of burning books. You know, here we had the 1619 Project. His predecessor, 45, wanted to burn it. You know, even though it's truth.
Unbelievable. And then the whole response to race.
Yeah, critical race.
Critical race theory.
So-called theory.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. How the hell is that theory?
Yeah, theory, right. It's analysis, more like it. But even though that's, yeah, it has nothing. What are you going to go and tell universities and colleges they can't teach the truth?
Right.
You can't put it in any kind of context, you know?
Now, but see, again, that's authoritarian, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Aren't you telling universities, you said, telling universities what they can and can't teach? Number one. Number two, you tell them what people can learn.
Right.
Right? In our public institutions.
Right.
So.
And if it reveals the truth that you want hidden, you want a state secret hidden,
right,
then, you know, you're going to pull every power punch you can to make sure that happens.
That's
But fascists don't live forever, you know, and their policies don't work at all.
Right.
So, I mean, it just requires, number one, us talking about it, and number two, the people of Florida acting on it,
right,
you know. Stop letting politics play as politics as business as usual, because, you know, they've gerrymandered this state so much that the white conservatives and the evangelicals can control every district. They can control the whole
state.
You know, because of the way it's been districted.
They've taken away powers from local governments and like it's nothing.
I think we have a call.
Taking away local power. And that's not fascist.
Yeah.
That's not authoritarian. That's not Hitler-esque.
Right.
You took away the power of local government.
We definitely know it's not democracy.
Come on.
And there's a war on democracy right now. Go ahead, call her. You're on the Sunday Forum. What you think?
Good morning.
Good morning.
For me, you just said something just a minute ago was so important, and that's why this show is so important, to bring out the facts. You said we can talk about it, but we got to do something about it. We can sit around and we can talk about Ron DeSantis and call him Hitler, Ron the idiot. But there was a program on before you all. I think it was the Sunday morning classic hour.
The gospel classic hour, yes.
With Dr. Patricia Hauser. Right now, and you would know better than I would, because you're a fact finder. But DeSantis won the election last year, if I'm not mistaken, by shortly over 100,000 votes against Andrew Gillum. Is that correct?
I'm not sure exactly what
the numbers were
but...
But it was... It was close. That number.
Right.
Right now, today, we have 1.4 million ex-cons that have been released from prison, that Desmond Meade organization is willing to pay their fine to them to be allowed to vote.
Mm-hmm.
And 80% of those are released inmates are black. And it's got to be impressed upon these inmates that have been released that they have the power now to vote when somebody is paying their fine. Because when a man get out of prison, and if he don't have a place to stay, he don't have a job, he's not going to make it his priority to go pay a fine to vote.
Right.
See the roof over his head.
Right. Exactly.
Okay? So what I'm saying is simply this. You know, we get people to talk and say certain things, but the representative for Desmond Meade's office right there in Tampa is our very own Connie Burton.
Okay? Yes.
And the Classic Hour will put out her number, 499-6186, on the Prime Show. And it's my understanding that next week, they're on the class with Dr. Hauser, they're going to elaborate on this more. These ex-cons that's getting out of prison, we need to reach out to them through Sister Connie Bird and get them to register to vote. It doesn't cost you a penny. It doesn't. You got Desmond Meade that's raised $10 million, got a jester from Bloomberg that ran for president that he will put $100 million in the pot. You know, how much do you have to do for a person before they want to do for themselves? Okay? And we can call him, he hates the Jews and all, but you know for a fact, when he said it was all right to ride into that crowd of people and run over them, and it was all right, 90% of those people were black, okay? So he was just saying, hey, just run over them ends and kill them, and I got your back.
That's right.
Right.
That's the bottom line. We can sugarcoat it, and we can tell whatever story we want to tell. But the politics has played its hand in the favor of, if we can get these ex-cons, I have never seen anybody in my, and I'm from Tampa, to see anybody in the modern day time do what this guy Desmond Meade has done. And he's, we give Connie Bird all these praises, and we give her all these praises, but it's now time to educate these guys that's walking out of these doors that you got a chance to dictate how this election is decided.
That's right.
You have set up in the prison. You have been jumped on in prison. You've been beat like dogs in prison. You've been over-sentenced. You've been over-prosecuted. Now is your time. Walt, please, steer the people to Connie Burton, and she's going to be on the Classic Hour. I think Desmond Meade is going to be on the next week. For anybody that don't understand, it's simple. Let's get these ex-cons to the polls, because it's obvious, and you know, I know you all don't like to call names, but man, we need to call it like it is. It's obvious that these other organizations, Willie Dixon and Courses Foundation, they can't do it. It's a shame that we got women out there on the front line that's fighting what men should be fighting for. But I'm begging everybody to get, if you got somebody in your family that's been to prison, get them to the polls to vote. Because out of 1.4 million that's on the streets in the state of Florida, I'm quite sure with the money that Desmond Meade has raised and it put Connie Burton over in Tampa, that if we got with every city, every county, and got with the person in that town, that, because I feel like there's some more Connie Burtons in other cities, in the state of Florida.
Sure.
And we can get these ex-cons to vote rather than walking out of prison with their pants hanging down. The next thing they want to do when they can't get a job is sell some dope. If we get this hillbilly out of that office, the state of Florida will change. So I'm asking everybody to listen to Dr. Howell's show next week. And we're giving out Connie Burton's phone number. Please, let's support this movement, because it's a movement that can change the state of Florida. And it will put black people in a position to be respected and put an end to some of this division. I appreciate the time to speak. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much. We appreciate that. Sister Connie Burton, if you are watching, please call in. Please call in. We want to make sure that we get this information out to people appropriately from you directly. We know that you have you're regular here on the show, but we certainly want to hear this information. Okay, so Sister Connie Burton, if you have a call, that might be the next call that we have here. Who knows?
Okay,
right?
Could be. And of course, the Gospel Classic Hour precedes the Sunday Forum each Sunday here on WNF. Dr. Hauser.
Yes, sir.
She's not adverse to having, I've heard it before, she's had some ex-cons on her show.
Yeah.
Let's see what you have to say. Go ahead, caller. You're on the Sunday Forum.
Hey, my Billy, let me say this real quickly. I'm glad your last caller said what he said. I want to bring this up. Maybe, Walter, you would know this. I believe that that Republican Florida legislature passed a bill stating that you, outside person outside of the felon cannot pay the fine of that felon to have his voting rights restored. I believe I had heard that somewhere before. I don't know if that's true or not, but I want to get out the way, and I hope Connie Burton does call in. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Yeah. I don't know the answer to that one.
We have to research it, but I do understand that we had a referendum, I believe, in which we decided that, you know, these felons, you know, we're going to allow this path to clemency. And it wasn't supposed to be about paying fines. Mm-hmm. If you got your clemency, you were free. And so I think this was a reaction on the part of the right wing in this state, in the state legislature, and this governor to try to trump the will of the people in this state. Or to overthrow the will of the people in this state.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They were definitely setting, they set a precedence there.
Right. Which is common.
Yeah. Yeah. That's they set a precedence that what the people want didn't matter.
Right. Yeah. Except
doesn't matter.
You know, when it's something they want, then it's something the right wing wants. They don't care whether the people want it or not. They can make speeches to make it think you want it. You know? Right. But I mean, that's the power of power. You know, they just have sheer power because mostly we don't vote. We have supposedly more Democrats on the voting rolls. For years, I didn't vote as a Democrat. I voted as a nonpartisan affiliated, but you know, I still caucus with Democrats, you know, right. Because I'm certainly not going to vote for a fascist from the right wing. But clearly this state is full of them. We have, look at what happened at Sun City Center. These are supposed to be your genteel elderly who are out there stealing votes, stuffing ballots, you know, trying to steal the election. You know, so, and this was a place that...
That's so desperate.
Yeah.
That's so desperate, man. Anyway.
Voting multiple times, stuffing.
that's just ridiculous, man. It's ridiculous.
So anyway. This is how they win. This is how they accumulate power through lies and deception, vote rigging, stealing. And now they want to have a whole new position. Certain Republican states especially want a position that would overturn the caucus, the canvas board of the electorate, of the elections. So, come on, you know, they are shamelessly fascist.
This is so bad. This is so
in the
bad.
State of Florida. We need to be on top of it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And the biggest scapegoats have always been those who are locked out, because who comes to their defense? Who's going to come to their defense?
No one does, man. And that's the shame of it all, truthfully. I know that when when we started out, one thing I did, and I want to go back to doing it truthfully, first of all, let me just say, shout out to Diane Hart, State Representative Diane Hart, and everybody that has been in direct support of and working directly under her or with her for prison reform.
Yeah.
She's done an outstanding job, and I commend her for the work that she's done. You know, keep on keeping on, Representative Hart. Let me just say, it is very important that we do what we can to listen to what's happening behind those bars.
Yeah.
We got to.
Especially in this pandemic, those guys and ladies are, despite where they are and why they're there, they're still humans that can catch a virus.
Right.
And it is our responsibility as a state to maintain human rights standards.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I cringe to find out what else is there. But we know there is something wrong. Well, there has been for quite some time. So whatever it is, we just want to do whatever we can to bring it to light, do what needs to be done in order to rectify it. So please understand, folks, consider us allies.
Yeah.
You know. I don't think I've ever actually outright said that, but I want to make sure that everybody hears it. If you're listening and you behind there, behind those bars, man, first of all, keep your head up. Keep your head up, man. I know it's hard and it's easier said than done, but keep your head up.
We have to stay on top of the games, the political game that the right wing will play because, you know,
they'll do anything to keep you behind those bars in slavery. Right.
And counted as part of a citizens of those counties, which makes them look like they have access, more population, and should have access to more state and federal dollars.
Exactly.
So you're being used while you're being locked up.
Exactly.
You're being used as fodder for that community that you're being locked up in. You're not counted as a citizen of the community you came from.
Mm-mm.
You're counted as a community you're locked up in.
Yep.
And that skews the reality.
Yep.
I think we got a call, Walter.
We got a call.
813-239-9663. This is the Sunday Forum with Walter L. Smith in Fort State.
Who we got?
Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Good morning, brothers.
That's my sister.
There we go. How you doing?
None of this is staged. I'm laying here minding my business. I'm just enjoying the show because it is so needed that our people get an ounce of intellectual discussion throughout some of these radio circuits that we got going on. But I was going to, two things I want to say quickly. I'm very concerned of, you remember Brother Laquan McDonald, the young 16-year-old brother that was killed in Chicago?
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
Yes.
In the street.
Because
he had a knife.
The mm-hmm. officer is being set to be released on February 3rd. Mm-hmm. And when we talk about criminal justice reform, that's the classic example right there. Somebody can have 16 counts of aggravated assault that culminated with a young person being killed
mm-hmm.
can do less time than somebody that's in prison. And I'm thinking about the young sister with the tax fraud. Got 24 years. We need an adjustment in this system because what it does, it continues to punish brown and black people at the highest level.
Right.
That's shameful. Dr. King said he used to think about it. We tweaked it a little bit over here and tweaked the system a little bit over there. His conclusion was that, we need a full revolution of values.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yes.
We definitely can see it now. We had people that went, I heard the brother comment, we had people that went out in support of Amendment 4 that believed in second chance,
right.
That believed in redemption. And as you said, Mabili, the roadblocks that was put in place, the voters was clear, but the power of the legislators came back and did something different.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But lo and behold, that there is a canary in the gold mine where people came together and said, an organization said, to assist these people that had fines and fees that was keeping them away from the purest form of democracy, and that's voting.
Mm-hmm.
We get the chance to see just who our friends are right now nationally on this split not supporting the Voting Rights Act. But I would also say that as this money has been raised to deal with the fines and fees that people had associated with the convictions of their crimes, the problem that they're having, that people are having, is getting an invoice and getting a proof that it has been paid. Now, I know that the Florida Rights Restoration, they came and brought $1.5 million here in Hillsborough County. I can't verify that people have actually gotten an invoice. So we're going to have to be, laser focused on making sure that our people, even when we have our good allies that's supposed to be on the right side of history, that's supposed to be in the same boat as us, making sure that people are denied the right to vote. And that is a problem. I know organizationally, Desmond and his team is working, you know, hard at it to make sure that that money goes to the intended purpose. But it's some shenanigans that's going on that's above my pay level. But we want to make sure that people, the money has been put to these counties. We want to make sure that the $20 million that came to the state of Florida in behalf of returning citizens do what it was intended to do. And so I would just say collectively for voters, for me, we can't sit on the sideline.
Right.
We can't allow those people that have the aspirations of doing the worst to the people gain power. We have the power, I believe, locally, statewide, and nationally to accelerate, to make it get on the right side of history. So we're going to keep on working just like you brothers are working on the radio and doing what we must to make sure that there is a future for a future generation of people and that we continue to live in some form of decency and that democracy works for all of us. So
that's right.
Thank you so very much.
Absolutely. It's just a kind of, what is the number that people can call you at so they can get, so we can let people hear that number, please?
Okay. It's always 813-499-6186.
All right. That's 813-499-6186.
That's it.
All right, Sister Connie Burden. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Peace now.
All right.
Got
another call. This is the Sunday Forum. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Hello?
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, this is Gerard Jones, a.k.a. Lawyer Boy. How you doing, my Billy?
Hey.
How you doing, Connie?
She's gone now.
Oh, she's gone?
Yeah.
Okay, she was a caller?
Yes.
Okay, I just got out of prison on the 30th. I did 25 and a half years in prison for selling a stolen car. I was listening to the conversation with you and Connie, and she was just telling me about the lady that did the tax fraud and how she got 24 years. And that lady's cousin is up there. She was up there. He was up there at the prison with me where I just came from, Tomoka. And he has the same sentence for the same exact thing. He's doing time for the same exact thing. And you think about all these white-collar criminals and how they take millions and gazillions and millions, hardly serve any time. So, so that they didn't take a paltry sum, but nevertheless, it's still not worth 25 years. But they're just showing what kind of time that black and brown people can get.
Right. Exactly. Things haven't changed that much, which is why the power structure of the state of Florida has to be finally challenged and overthrown, because that's what's keeping things going.
Absolutely.
That kind of racism going. Thank you, caller.
And Mobili, one more thing, if I could, real quick. Connie was speaking to an issue about using money that they have allocated for the people that's getting out. And I just want you to know that I was released after 26 years with nothing. And it's just lucky that I had a parachute. I had my fiance and she has everything for me. But they release people, Mobili, they release people homeless with nowhere to go. And it promotes recidivism because when a guy gets off a bus with $15 that they gave him to eat with, the lady sitting across the street with her little purse out is a very attractive target to him. He has nothing. And thank God that, you know, my thinking is not like that, but it's just so many people that have no wherewithal, no means, no assets to do anything with, and they're promoting recidivism by putting people out homeless, by putting people out with no tangible way to do anything, to get in touch with homeless shelters and to, you know, just foster them a better environment and create a condition they can have some measure of success. They're not doing that at all, Mobili.
Plus, they don't have access to family hardly while they're locked up either. It makes it difficult for families to call.
People don't have family. Well, really, a lot of people have broke their plate with their family, and their family don't want to hear it.
It's by design.
99% of the people that come to prison get out one day. 99%. Yeah. That's a stat. Almost everybody that comes to prison gets out. Mm-hmm. The 1% that stay in are the ones who die in prison, the ones who got lethal injection or something like that. But other than that, everybody's getting out, and we need to be thinking about that we want these people to get out in a better mental and physical state than when they went in, because it behooves society for these people to get out not angry and to, for them to have something, because it's otherwise it's just plaguing the community with more crime, because they're going to get right back out and do something even more heinous and don't care and just go back.
Which is why
you invest. You invest in the people.
We call it warehousing.
Invest in general with the issue. We're not. We never have.
Speaking of warehousing mobility, there are 96,000 prisoners, and I want you to know, they don't need to build no more prisons. They got 123,000 prison beds. Now, listen to that. 96,000 prisoners and 123,000 beds. They got 27,000 beds empty right now. And I just looked on the website last week. They got almost 1 million people on community control and probation.
Mm-hmm.
People already have a DC number assigned to them, a Department of Corrections number assigned to them. When they violate, they could conceivably put another 1 million people in prison right now, because those people are on probation, community control, paying $75 a month each. So you got almost 1 million people paying $75 a month each to stay out here. That's $75 million a month. That the DOC is making. It's a cash cow. It's mass incarceration. It's the prison industrial complex like you've been talking about for years, bro.
Yeah, certainly. It's the new slavery. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Lady Paul.
You're welcome, my baby.
Excellent call.
Right. Yeah, so he's mad with me.
Never that.
He's like, he's mad with me. He's just thinking with me. No, let me tell you that I said it before, I'll say it again. There's a need locally for us to make certain that we are investing in people and that we're investing in doing that, we have to invest in fighting against homelessness. Mm-hmm. So
it's all relative.
It is very relative. It's all relative.
One thing has an impact on the other. And those in power know that.
Yeah.
They know that. And they know how to count. You know, this system of incarceration is a way of them controlling. It's a community control. It's a way of controlling. Mm-hmm. Just as the plantation system did. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a threat that you could constantly hold over poor people and working class people, black people's heads, while white collar criminals get away with murder. They steal millions from people. Have you watched American Greed lately? They steal millions. Look at the Sackler family. In the whole opioid crisis, they get a tap on the finger, not even the whole hand.
Yep.
You know, so listen.
These guys get out of here and go on vacation.
Yeah.
You know,
and find them if you can.
Good luck, right? Well, listen, folks, we want to thank you. It's now 9:58 in the morning.
It's over.
Time is over. We got to wrap it up. Thank you to Nerman Olkin. Listen, Nerman says, like to see the Sunday Forum go to 3 hours. We'd like to see it too. We'd like to see it too.
Yeah,
man. Listen, thank you so much, everybody out there, for joining us here on Sunday Forum each and every Sunday. We want to thank everybody on Facebook for joining us each and every Sunday, calling in and making comments, you know, whether we agree or disagree. It's okay. It's all right.
We just want you to know.
And every Sunday, we have this forum. And as always, from my voice to the airwaves, to the hearts and the minds of the people, we love you. And there's absolutely nothing you can do about it here on the Sunday Forum. And we're going to leave you with Hey 19 by Steely Dan. WMNF at 8.5, Tampa, Sarasota, St. Pete.